You're listening to the Choose to Be podcast with hosts Alana Gordon and Amy Woolsey. As you join us each week, we will provide you with tools, resources, and knowledge to help you navigate your healing journey. Choose recovery, choose healing, choose you.
Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thanks for joining us today. We have a guest with us in our conversation, Dr. John St. John, who is a somatic relational psychotherapist. We're having him join our conversation today to talk about trauma. But really quickly, just want to give you a little bit about Don. Like I mentioned, he is a psychotherapist. He also has a book called Healing the Wounds of Childhood and Culture, An Adventure of a Lifetime. This is where he shares his personal story and discoveries about what our bodies, our minds, and ourselves and our relationship needs in order to heal from the wounds, the traumas, and the toxic stresses of life. His interests over the past few years have been helping people realize how many more resources they have available within themselves to learn to connect to those resources and strengths, plus learn to connect well to those they love. So here's our conversation with Dr. Don.
We are so excited to have with us a guest. Thank you again for being here. We're excited to hear from you and your experience. And just briefly before we hit record, just talking about your personal experience outside of the education that you've had, specifically even around abusive behaviors and communication. And I completely agree with what you said earlier before I hit record. I do think it adds a lot of credibility when you've experienced this yourself, a whole unique level of empathy, of understanding some of those nuances that don't get picked up in textbooks and formal educational learning. So thank you for being willing to be vulnerable and share with your clients, but also with our listeners.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation very much.
Absolutely. Okay. So like Alana said, one of the things that you do with your clients experiencing betrayal is you have those four essential components of healing from trauma. And would you introduce those and let us know, maybe let us know how you came up with that, how that was developed for you?
Okay. Well, you know, I'll start with a little bit of my own history. The traumas and abuses in my childhood were rather extreme. I almost died at birth. You know, there was a great deal of violence in my household, mostly my mother directing it to me and my brother, and a lot of ignorance, you know, chronic put downs and things like that. Criticisms, rarely ever a kind word. It was rough. And in my 20s, I realized that I needed help. I was relationally, in retrospect, looking back, I can see that I was relationally retarded, incapable of sustaining a close, intimate relationship with a partner. And I knew I had a lot of work to do. Initially, I thought it was simply psychological. You know, you go to a psychiatrist, a psychologist, you talk it through, and you're healed that way. And after a few years of that perspective, I realized through some of my reading that the body had to be included. So we can start there as the first pillar of healing. It's deeply unfortunate that the body-mind split has become so institutionalized in our world that the psychology department, as I like to say, and the physical therapy department are on different sides of the campus, and never the twain shall meet. You know, but when one is deeply injured, the whole organism is affected. The tissues literally contract over time. They become more dense. The connection between one's consciousness and one's body becomes diminished, becomes compromised. The feeling of being alive, of being whole, being capable, diminishes. So we have to address the body in a healing process. And it depends on how early the wounds were, how extensive, how deep. I like to look at trauma in this way. There's big T trauma, and then there's little T trauma, where, for example, someone who is constantly criticized or put down or like that, or growing up in a family where the parents don't like each other or they're always bickering, that's traumatic to the organism. And even in the best of environments, even with loving parents, the culture has so many life negating attitudes and diminishes our aliveness. We're all in this together. We've all been wounded. And my counsel is embarking on a healing journey is what there is to do in this lifetime to become more capable of loving, more capable of being close and willing to open up and show our hearts, you know, to each other, to feel.
And that does have to start within, to your point. In order to be able to project that outwardly and even receive it from outside, we have to create that within ourselves. And when you've been wounded, whatever that has looked like for you in your life, healing that somatically. I mean, I agree. And I love that you have this as your first component, because I think it's a huge one that gets missed. So I love that you have that as your first one.
When you talk about the somatic healing, what types of different therapies or activities or processes do you typically recommend?
Well, they're not as available as they will eventually be. We're in the early stages of recognizing how important they are. But there are things like structural integration, also known as Rolfing, or Heller work structural integration. There's a continuum, which is a fluid movement meditation discipline. I write about these in my book and go into detail with them. But, you know, we could start with yoga, anything that helps us connect to our body is helpful.
And complete that stress cycle, right? That often doesn't get completed when you have betrayal trauma. And I love that you brought up yoga. I really quickly, as soon as you said that, it reminded me of a time that I had done a yoga class and she had us just move our body freely to some music and just let the body lead, right? Instead of being told what to do and just systematically doing it.
Beautiful.
And about 5 minutes into that, it was uncomfortable because it was new, it was weird. But as soon as I went into my body and just really let go of any judgment or feeling awkward about that, I started crying. Like just tears started flowing. Mm-hmm. And so to your point, you're releasing that because you're going into that body somatically and bypassing the cognitive. So.
And maybe also, Amy, there was a sense of freedom in movement that you might not have been accustomed to have the permission to move in a way that you feel rather than in a way that you're told to.
Yes. Yes. I love that. So spot on. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the somatic realm, and the psychological, emotional, that's much more familiar. And one of the keys there is to uncover the beliefs that we have around the traumatic experiences. For example, your show is about betrayal. Someone gets betrayed and there's a tendency, not always, there's a tendency to blame themselves, that somehow it was the person's own deficiency that resulted in that occurrence. That belief needs to be uncovered, brought to light, challenged. So that's that psychological level, and also the willingness to take risks again. Because you put your hand on a stove and it's you may not touch that stove again ever because you were burnt there that one time. And even though it may not have been turned on for a week, it's completely harmless. When your hand starts approaching that stove top, your body begins to react with danger.
Yeah, and for sure.
So we avoid relationships, we avoid getting close again, and that requires support. It's almost like somebody has to actually take our hand and say, here, let me hold your hand. Let me be here with you, and we'll go to that stovetop together, and you can see that it's not hot now. It's been turned off, you know?
I really like what you're saying, because I know your next pillar is relational, and we have attachment injuries. Attachment injuries are best healed with nice, safe, healthy attachment, but there is that deep fear of relating again. And I do see a lot of individuals who will get stuck, that they want so bad to have these close relationships in their life, but also become almost paralyzed in protecting themselves and not being willing to even go near the stove again, let alone reach their hand to see if it's warm or cold. And so I really like that analogy and just bringing awareness to the importance of knowing that part of that healthy recovery work and healing work is learning how to be relational again and learning how to take those risks.
Yeah, I love that, Alana. That's exactly it. It's learning how to do it. I think there are two ways you can be fortunate enough to find the person whom you can do it with together, recognizing what the challenges, what the obstacles, what the fears and vulnerabilities are. Or you can work with a psychotherapist who's relationally savvy, who recognizes that it's the relationship itself that's the healing medium, and work with that to help the person. Again, use, I don't want to overuse that metaphor, but it's really apt. You got to touch that stove. You have to take the risk. And it's scary if you deeply believe that it's going to result either in you getting really hurt or smothered and having your autonomy taken away. Can I be me and still be with you? That kind of thing.
I like using the phrase healthy risk, because there is a difference. And I think that when you've been burned, and it's interesting you use that metaphor. My mother actually literally, it was those flat stoves, you couldn't really tell if it was hot. And so she put her hand right on top of it to reach something up above. And literally her hand stuck to the stove, like it burned her hand. I know, right? Oh. And she will never forget it. Like when you have injury, it is now a part of you in some way. And learning how to be in charge of that part is the work that you're talking about, the healing work that you're talking about. And you can, in a healthy way, have that part now be a part of you. But it's not like running the show and saying that everything I touch, I'm going to burn, so I'm not touching anything. Kind of what you're talking about, Alana. It's, I'm not going to get into any relationship. And I work with divorced women, and that's what they say right after divorce, right? I am never getting into a relationship again. Rather than healing the wound, knowing that the wound will be there, but the scar. However, if you heal it, then you can take healthy risks because you're learning more about you. You're turning towards you in that healing work. And so that's kind of how I look at what you're talking about with the relational piece. It's how can we learn how to take healthy risks?
Yeah, I love it. The opposite is being reckless.
Yeah.
Some people can be reckless with risks and then act surprised when they burn the hand on that stove.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So what's your third? So body, relational.
Psychological. And relational is the third. And I placed it as a separate category, because I don't think there's anywhere nearly enough emphasis on relationships in our educational process, whether at home or in school or just how we privilege it. I have this notion, if you look at the development of a human being, there's a phase in adolescence where it's completely appropriate to be self-centered, focusing on who am I? Who am I in the world? What's it mean now that I'm not a child anymore? I'm an adult and I make my own choices, etc. And the next phase beyond that, once that's established, and again, in an ideal world, say in late adolescence, 18, 19, or early adulthood, again, ideally, let's say then the next stage is to be able to be intimate with another human being. The way I see it is our culture is stuck on that phase of me, myself, and I. Our heroes are the billionaires, just keep accumulating more billions, and we don't privilege relationship enough. And look at our lives. I believe that the quality of our relationships, friendships, intimate relationships, relatives, that is so much more of factor in our contentment and our happiness and our health than in how much we've achieved. It's rare that someone on his or her deathbed will say, gee, I wish I'd worked harder and made more money while I was alive.
It's an interesting paradox because it's also the people that hurt us the most and give you an opportunity to see into yourself the most is those close, intimate relationships. That's how I see it. It's an interesting, we want to be close to them, but they're also some of the people that injure us the most.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's where the work is. That's where there's more fertilizer for growth in our relationships than anywhere else, right?
Yeah. Interesting, because we work with women who have been betrayed, and a lot of times they are working through so much trauma, and they really are going back to who they're in relationships with. A lot of times we deal with people who have repetitive behaviors of betrayal, and so very much they can see my spouse or my partner is stuck in this very selfish thinking, and they're just dying for that connection and dying to feel safe in the relationship. But often we see he goes over here and does his recovery work, and she goes over here and she's doing her work. And they do need to be able to get grounded. But sometimes there is a real chasm between the two of them, like a Grand Canyon of how do we come back together? And so I always like making sure that we do remember that this relational piece is very healing. And it may happen with that other person may not choose to move beyond and do their own work to be able to get to that place of really building that relational again. But no matter what, really remembering the importance that we as humans are wired for connection. It's not just a hope. It's not just that would be nice. It's we really need this as humans, is to have connections with others in our life, and not just with our significant other, with our children, with our friends, with family, with community. We need that in our lives as part of our emotional well-being.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's part of what I was referring to earlier when I said we don't privilege that enough. That's not a big part of our educational process. Now, you know, with betrayal, one of the things that I've found in my experience that people need to learn to develop is, one, an ability to bring their vulnerability forward, to be able to open up and really expose, reveal themselves to their partner. It's tender. It makes you sweat sometimes. I like to say those kinds of difficult conversations, if you have them, they'll make you sweat. If you avoid them, they'll make you suffer. And they're important. And here's the key part. We need to be able to back ourselves up to support that vulnerability.
Yeah.
So that if anyone is unconscious around it, We don't allow anybody to trample our tenderness.
I like to look at it too as, I mean, that's the, again, paradox of vulnerability is the risk of rejection. And so when you are, when you've got your own back, when you aren't rejecting yourself first into that vulnerability, then when it is, in a sense, some sort of rejection, you're not going to crumble to the floor. You're going to be able to hold yourself because you have seen into yourself first and you're not rejecting yourself. You're not going to absorb it. You're not going to take it in. And that only happens when, like we've been talking about this whole time, when you are doing the work to see into yourself, doing the work to connect to yourself first. That gives you the courage to be vulnerable. At least that's been my experience.
Absolutely. And with compassion.
Yeah.
Because when we look into ourselves, we're apt to find a bunch of things that we don't like particularly.
Yeah.
And see that with compassion, because if we attack what we don't like, if we condemn, if we judge what we don't like, it doesn't just go away. It might bury deeper, but it doesn't go away. It's still influencing us. Only it's now worse because you've got that energy of judgment laid on top of it.
This is really good. How about for your spiritual? What does that look like? What does that entail?
Find a way. Find your way to experience a sense of self beyond your skin.
It gets the ego out of the way in the sense of when you can reflect a higher power back towards you, then it, I think it helps you connect to your higher self. When we're reflecting something else back, then I think that's where we can get really confused and disconnected. So I like that too. I think it's a really important piece to your four essential, and I do think it's essential, those four essential components of healing from trauma.
And there are a lot of different routes that people take to get there. And I see a lot of people who discount that they need that. I see that. Or I see people who think that the only way that they get there is the way that everybody should get there. And I've really, as I've done this work, have seen a wide variety of individuals find that in their own way, but that being part of something greater, being part of this good and that we're all connected, I really think is an important part of our emotional wellness.
Yeah, that's the key.
So I feel like our time has flown by. What message do you hope to leave with our listeners for these individuals who are trained to heal, they're trained and move forward, but they're still in the thick of it? What would you want to leave with them?
Okay. The message that I would leave is that, first of all, I understand the pain. I mean, I have gone through it, no doubt. And as I look back, it became, those traumas became a catalyst for me to go to places that I never, ever would have done otherwise. To have, for example, my wife and I have been together 40 years. We're both years old, and our relationship grows in closeness. It grows in vitality, connection. There's so much richness, so much that's available as you proceed in this healing journey. Use it to grow. Use it to become bigger, better, fuller, richer, more alive than you've ever been.
Beautiful message. I love this, the concept of post-traumatic growth.
This does not have to,
it doesn't have to be the end of your story. We can use it to grow and become more than we ever could have been if we choose to. So
choose to, and that's your message. Choose to be.
Exactly. Yep. Choose to be more. Choose to do something. We are, our tagline is choose healing, choose recovery, choose you. And so
I love it. Beautiful.
Thank you for sharing a little piece of yourself today. Thank you for sharing your tools. And in our show notes, we'll put a little bit more about you, your book, this healing workshop, if those who are local to you maybe want to look that up. But just thank you for sharing this time with us. And to all of our listeners today, thank you for hanging out with us. And we look forward to seeing you all next week.
And thank you for the work you're doing in the world. It's important.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Head over to the show notes to get more information on Dr. Don and his latest book. Also, holidays are coming up, y'all. They are stressful enough. Take betrayal out of it. Going through the holidays in fight, flight, or freeze, not going to be fun. Book your session with a coach today to help you learn how to ground, learn how to stay in your own control bubble, and learn how to get through those holidays so that you don't disconnect from yourself even more. Choose Recovery supports you as you continue to choose your healing, to choose recovery, and to choose you. Take care, everybody.